Hi, and welcome to the Creekwood Christian Church Sermon Podcast. This week's sermon from Reverend Jonathan Brink continues our sermon series, Starting Where You Are.
It comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk, but you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee and revealed his glory. And his disciples believed in him. Here ends our reading. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. If you will pray with me. Almighty God, we give you thanks for this day. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts offer to you our best, honoring what has been given to us in responsibility. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I want to invite each of us to step into where we are right now. You might be in a pretty great spot. Here at the beginning of the year, you haven't broke any of your covenants yet. You might be in a pretty horrible spot, either when the year didn't start the way it was supposed to have, or it just carried in from last year. You might be in a meh kind of place, where it's not great, but it's not awful, but somewhere in between. But wherever you are, it is the place that you start from. So take a moment and assess where you are. What is going well? What isn't going well? What obstacles do you have that stand in front of you? What gifts do you have that you are taking with you? What are you feeling the itch to go and do? What calling might God be placing on your life? Now I want us to take that place, and I want us to jump into this wedding reception party together. I know it's a bit of a strange thing to imagine yourself in this party, but if you'll oblige me, I think we might have a good time at the party. If you don't know much about me, here's a not-so-secret piece of information. I am cheesy, and I like bad, truly awful dad puns. One could say they are awful in a truly biblical proportion. Thank you for those of you who laughed. You are my good friends. Nonetheless, there we are here at this party. It had been going for quite some time, and yet we were still enjoying the company of our good friends and family. But alas, the wine is about to run out, and so the party seems to be ending soon. We are prepared to gather our things, begin heading toward the exit, and make our way home back to the realities that life awaits us. We are prepared, and yet it is here at this point that Jesus performs his first public act of ministry. And it's not a miraculous healing, like the healing of a leper, nor the blind be made to see, nor is it of raising Lazarus from the dead, and it's not even a sermon that he gives. Instead, Jesus' first act of public ministry is that of abundance. This first act is a peculiar one, and one that lays for us a line toward the ministry that Jesus would act upon throughout the rest of the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John pointing toward grace upon grace in each of the acts that follow. This miracle of abundance, a party that has already been going but is dying out just a little bit, is an act of grace. You see, a throwback to John in chapter 1 is this. It says in verse 17, "The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." And this grace builds the foundation of Jesus' ministry throughout the gospel. And when I look at this story here in John, it doesn't seem like it is the most opportune time for Jesus to roll out the red carpet and begin here. How many of them might remember the night? Or how many even noticed that Jesus was the one who turned the water into wine? The steward had simply thought that the family had saved the best for last after all. Or what about the time when Jesus was baptized and a dove descended from heaven? This seems like a more apt opportunity for Jesus to begin his ministry. But unlike our expectations of grandeur, it's here in this most unlikely time that Jesus begins his public ministry. So here we are at the party, hanging out, having a good time, some of us ready to go home, some of us just looking for that excuse to stay, and still others who are looking for the reason to show up. Where do you see yourself at this party? Have you made it there yet? What kind of things do you notice? Are you the steward, or are you an attendee, or maybe you're a party crasher just showing up? And yet, no matter your place in this story, Jesus offers you abundance, offers grace, offers a chance to join in on the party, to be where you are, as you are, invited. Now, I don't know about you, but I am one of those people who needs to have things just right before I get moving on things. They need to be in the right order, in the right place. So before I would have gone to this party, I would have needed to have things just right. I would have had my hair done just so, have the perfect outfit so I wouldn't stand out too much, would have had my car gassed up and ready to go, because I don't want to stand out, I don't want to be late. And yet, I'm invited to show up wherever I might be, however I might look or be dressed. But I also seem to take these kinds of actions in my life in other ways. On Monday mornings, I can't begin working until I have my desk organized. When I go on a retreat, I can't really begin the retreat until my bag is unpacked and put away. I can't start my new diet until after the weekend is over. I can't ride my bike because, well, it's too cold today. I have an excuse for everything, and while these things aren't terrible, I also take this into my spiritual and mental life at times. I can't hit that restart button until tomorrow. I can't possibly make this year any better. I just have to wait until next year. I can't go see a therapist until I know what I want to say or know how I feel. I can't ask for help until I know more, because what will somebody think if I share with them who I am or how I feel? I can't do anything about my situation, so why bother trying to do anything else or asking somebody else for help? We get lost in our own world sometimes. We are waiting until things are just right. We are waiting for that perfect weather or the right day or the right moment that feels like this is it. And still, there are other times that we sit and we wait because we look with rose-colored glasses to our past or to what could be in our future. And we forget to be where we are now, starting here. Last year, I started and then stopped reading the Harry Potter book series. I had been distracted for a bit, so over the Christmas holidays, I began once again, and I have been enjoying them immensely. But a couple weeks ago, I was reading through The Sorcerer's Stone, the first book, and I find there's a particular part of it that was quite meaningful. One night, while roaming around the castle underneath his invisibility cloak that his father had left him, Harry Potter, the main character, finds the Mirror of Erised. Harry looks into this mirror and doesn't see just himself. Instead, he sees his family with him in the mirror. His parents in particular are standing so close that he can practically touch them. But when he turns around away from the mirror, they are not there. You see, this mirror has an inscription upon it that reads roughly, "Erised sra eru oit ube kafru oit an wosi," which sounds a little bit like gibberish. But when you read it backwards, it can show its true meaning. For then it reads, I show not your face, but your heart's desire. After visiting several nights in a row, spending hours staring into this mirror, Harry Potter is becoming more and more distracted by this image that he sees. And on one particular night, as he shows up to the mirror once again to see his parents ever so close, the headmaster, the beloved Albus Dumbledore, shows up in the room with Harry. And to help Harry, he says this, Harry, it shows us nothing more or less than the deepest, most desperate desires of our hearts. However, it will give us neither knowledge or truth. Men have wasted before it, entranced by what they have seen, or been driven mad, not knowing if what it shows is real or even possible. It does not do to dwell on dreams and forget to live. At times, I cannot help but think this relates to our own lives and our stories that we tell too often. We are distracted by things being perfect, looking into our past or future, trying to make them be something, and forgetting to live here in the now. We forget to take action to prepare for that future. We forget to start where we are, because if things could just be the way we see them in this mirror, we could conquer it all if it was that way. So instead, we let ourselves waste away when we are invited to a party that is waiting for us, to just show up as we are. Jesus' first miracle at Cana wasn't unlike our own stories. We are invited to take action where it seems like a rather bizarre moment, instead of waiting for the perfect one. It might seem odd to start a public ministry, but it sets the tone for the rest of John, where we will see actions of grace upon grace, time after time, and a grace full of abundance at that. Jesus creates the wine and invites us to stay and enjoy the life that has been given to us. The best wine has been poured at a most unexpected moment, and we are invited to come as we are and enjoy the party. We're all most likely in different situations in our lives right now, and not one of them, I expect, is in a perfect place. And yet grace abounds and calls us into action. It is imperative that we not get stuck looking for that perfect moment to begin or to restart, because if we wait, indeed we forget to live. So today, I invite us to examine where we are. Start there. It's okay if we're not taking leaps and bounds, and it is okay if the steps are small. And it's okay to breathe and be still and think about where we want to go and where God is calling us to be. But when we hear the call, when we know where we got to go, don't wait for the perfect moment. For you are invited to start where you are, as you are. The party is still going, and the time is now.